Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 326 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the new research busting the myth that bleach baths are helpful and why mineral baths could be a better option for a variety of reasons, especially if you're prone to skin microbiome imbalances. Now, I know that research takes time to trickle down, but these studies I'm going to share with you today started to pop up in 2015. Which is almost 10 years ago, and directly contradicts the information you can easily find all over conventional health websites claiming that they work, including the Mayo Clinic, which has an article recommending the use of bleach baths, most recently updated July 9th, 2022. Dr. Peter Leo, who many of you know if you've watched the Healthy Skin Show, presented more recent data on bleach baths at the Eczema Expo 2023, sharing that we now know they aren't very effective, and yet they're still being recommended. So let's talk about why bleach baths don't work based on the research, the potential problems that doing bleach baths can cause, including the concern that many have exposing their bare skin to a highly toxic chemical, especially if the concentration of bleach is too high, and what could be more helpful instead. If you're not familiar with bleach baths, a bleach bath is a specific type of therapeutic bath that's been recommended by dermatologists as part of the treatment of eczema since at least 2007, according to Dr. Warner R. Heyman on the American Academy of Dermatology Association's website in an article published in 2019. The idea to highly dilute bleach comes from something called the Dakin solution, which was used in the pre-antibiotic era for wounds. Since bleach can kill bacteria and other microorganisms, and since eczema is often associated with the bacterial overgrowth of things like excessive Staphylococcus aureus, then doing a bleach bath multiple times a week in theory could help reduce the level of staph living on the skin. So for the past two decades, the use of bleach baths has been increasingly recommended for eczema and even fungal skin infections based on the idea that bleach could help control the overgrowth of opportunistic organisms. But when we consider the newer research I'm going to share with you in a moment, this is where the claim that bleach baths can stop staph overgrowth in the skin microbiome goes up in flames. To understand the problem with bleach baths, we need to talk about the way to make a bleach bath, as that is where the problem lies. Generally, the dermatologist recommended bleach bath recipe calls for 1/4 to 1/2 cup of household bleach in a bathtub full of water, which should be about 40 gallons, though admittedly, no one is really measuring this in their home. The reason the amount of bleach is so minute compared to the water is to avoid any caustic reactions on the skin and fumes generated by the bleach exposure. So it's very much been a sort of Goldilocks type recipe, not too little so that it does nothing, but not too much that it would then cause harm. And usually a bleach bath is done 2 to 3 times per week. By diluting the bleach into what should amount to 40 gallons of water, it means that the concentration of bleach in the bathtub is approximately 0.005%. This level is shown to be a safe level of exposure to bleach for your skin, as a higher concentration could cause harm to the skin barrier. And that's where things get curious, to say the least, because the dilution rate in a bleach bath has been shown that it can't kill Staph aureus. Dr. Leo talked about this in his presentation at Eczema Expo 2023, sharing a 2019 letter to the editor published in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology that directly questions the continued use of bleach baths and clearly illustrates the dilution problem. The 0.005% concentration in a bleach bath isn't effective at killing Staph aureus. And the authors of this paper, and even Dr. Warner R. Heyman, have pointed out to kill Staph aureus, the dilution rate for bleach must be higher, at least a 0.03% dilution. And guess what, my friends? A 0.03% dilution of bleach isn't safe for skin exposure. I'll share the graphic that I'm talking about over in the show notes for this episode that I've added some additional information to so you can see this for yourself. Now, is there research out there showing that bleach baths in eczema cases were helpful? Yes, but that's where I jump back to the issue I shared with you a moment ago, that the assumption has been that it was the bleach and not the water alone that was responsible for the improvement. A 2015 randomized placebo-controlled crossover trial published in the Journal of Dermatological Treatment with 40 moderate to severe eczema patients compared how well bleach baths versus plain old water baths reduced Staph aureus and controlled eczema skin symptoms. Researchers concluded that, quote, "This study demonstrated that a four-week, twice-weekly regimen of diluted bleach baths is not more useful than water baths in reducing Staph aureus colonization or infection and improving atopic dermatitis." The same results were echoed in a 2017 systemic review and meta-analysis published in the Annals of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, looking at five different studies. When bleach baths were compared with water baths, the researchers concluded that, quote, "In pooled analyses, there were no significant differences observed between bleach versus water baths at 4 weeks versus baseline for the eczema area and severity index or body surface area." So that makes me wonder if maybe it's not the bleach that's helpful. Maybe it's the water. And this is aside from the fact that if you mess up the bath dilution with bleach, making it too concentrated, it can potentially dry out your skin and increase itch, which would be more irritating. Plus, bleach can irritate your nasal passages at higher concentrations and be further triggering for somebody already struggling with asthma. And it goes without saying that bleach in and of itself is a toxic chemical. Now, granted, many of us are doing our best to reduce unnecessary toxin exposures, even at lower levels. So considering that the bleach bath isn't significantly more effective than a straight water bath alone, it doesn't make sense, to me at least, to have any exposure to bleach by adding a small amount to a bath. Now, to be clear, baths themselves can be helpful for atopic dermatitis, psoriasis, and other skin conditions, generally speaking. So I'm not saying that baths themselves are inherently problematic, just the ones with bleach. So if you already have concerns about bleach baths, there are other natural bath additives that research shows could be helpful. I'm a firm believer in the benefits of mineral bath soaks based on the research of practices known as balneotherapy and hydrotherapy. For centuries, people have flocked to natural mineral springs across Europe to soak in the waters, which have demonstrated benefits for a variety of health issues. And fortunately for us, there is research illustrating how they can be helpful in chronic skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis. So let's look at a few papers. A 2011 six-month observational study published in the Journal of the European Dermatology and Venereology followed 174 adults and 212 pediatric eczema patients, as well as 262 psoriatic patients during a three-week course of treatment bathing in mineral waters of Evian, France. Researchers concluded that, quote, "A three-week course of treatment at the Evian Hydrotherapy Center significantly improved the quality of life of patients suffering from skin diseases. This improvement persisted 3 and even 6 months after management by hydrotherapy." An 8-year observational study, also published in 2010 in the same journal, analyzed the records of over 14,000 patients with skin diseases, including eczema and psoriasis, who all received a 3-week mineral bath treatment, again in Evian, France. The results a significant improvement in the, quote, scoring atopic dermatitis score, also known as SCORAD, by 41.6%, as well as a significant reduction in the PASI score by nearly 54.4% in the psoriasis patients after just 18 days. Several studies specific to psoriasis have illustrated that mineral baths could help reduce how extensive the rashes and plaques are, as well as the psoriasis severity index score, also known as PASI. A 2022 systematic review of the International Journal of Dermatology looking at the data from 22 different studies demonstrated the benefits of mineral baths for psoriasis patients. The data showed that, quote, balneotherapy, spa therapy, and hydrotherapy may reduce the effects of the disease by reducing inflammation, end quote, and improve the PASI score index. And there's some interesting data on whether mineral baths can be helpful from an antimicrobial standpoint as well. A 2010 study reviewing the effects of hydrotherapy from mineral bath treatment in the waters of Avignon, France, had, quote, positive effects on the skin of patients suffering from chronic dermatosis, with decreased inflammation and reduced colonization by Staph aureus. And a 2020 literature review published in the Journal of Clinical Medicine looked at the potential benefits of mineral baths on chronic inflammatory skin conditions, including eczema and psoriasis. The paper noted that mineral waters, particularly those that are salty and sulfur-containing, demonstrated anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial activity, helped by the presence of minerals such as, quote, sulfur, manganese, magnesium, zinc, selenium, strontium, silica, and calcium bicarbonate. So my takeaway from this is that while water baths alone can be helpful, added minerals could also give your skin an added boost. If you're like me and don't live near natural mineral springs in the heart of the Alps, there are other options to add mineral baths into your regimen at home by doing mineral bath soaks. Now, just like with most things, mineral baths are a supportive tool, not a silver bullet. So please don't take this episode and research to mean that baths will solve all of the problems. Most clients that I have worked with in my clinical practice are dealing with external and internal inflammatory factors, which is why I believe an outside-in and inside-out approach works best. And mineral baths can be a helpful outside-in tool to add to your regimen or your protocol. But the key is to be consistent. The research I've looked at indicates that unless you're doing this 2 to 4 times a week over the course of several weeks, you probably won't see a sizable improvement from just doing them once or twice. Now, to make a mineral bath at home is actually quite simple. By combining mineral elements as well as other potential soothing skin ingredients with bath water. Since the research shows the potential positive impact of having a bunch of different minerals present rather than just one or two, pink Himalayan salt is an excellent option. This special salt has over 80 minerals like calcium, potassium, magnesium, manganese, sodium, and sulfur, which can help mimic the benefits of soaking in a natural mineral spring. Now, speaking of sulfur, this is another important mineral that's included in the natural mineral baths. And it also happens to be one of the most abundant minerals in the body. Adding sulfur to bath water can have a soothing impact on your skin and is thought to be antibacterial. That said, the form of sulfur matters, which is why I recommend the MSM form that's believed to have the most substantial impact to improve skin quality and texture, and even potentially demonstrates antimicrobial properties. And while this final bonus bath additive isn't a mineral, I do think it's worth mentioning since there is a decent amount of research showing the benefits of adding colloidal oatmeal to bath soaks. In case you're not familiar with what this is, colloidal oatmeal is literally just oats that have been ground into a fine powder. The use of colloidal oats has been recommended by dermatologists for years to ease different skin diseases in both a bath as well as in topical products, likely because it's thought to exhibit anti-inflammatory, antifungal, and even skin barrier repair properties. In fact, a 2020 paper in Practical Dermatology concluded that colloidal oatmeal was effective to support eczema skin, noting its beneficial reputation as a bath additive that's preferred by patients over bleach baths. And the authors also noted that, quote, colloidal oatmeal treatment is effective in restoring the skin barrier in patients with a disrupted skin barrier. So assuming you don't have an allergy to oats, colloidal oats could be another excellent addition. And yes, you can add all of these natural options together into a bath. Now, if you don't want to figure out the proportions of each ingredient, I've actually done that for you in my new limited edition, Soothing Skin Soak Plus MSM, available at quellshop.com. It combines over 80 trace minerals from pink Himalayan sea salt, MSM, colloidal oats, and some other hydrating natural ingredients at the ideal ratios to make it easy to do a mineral bath at home. Plus, we have hand and foot soak directions in the event that you don't need to do a full bath, so you know exactly how much to use. And last but not least, if you have open cuts or wounds, talk to your doctor before doing bath soaks to make sure that they are okay for you. So now you know, mineral baths are in and bleach baths are out. If you've got any questions or thoughts to share about this, or you want to see the resources and graphics I've put together for you, head on over to skinterrupt.com/326 so we can keep the conversation going. Then share this episode with others so we can finally get the word out about how ineffective bleach baths actually are, especially since it doesn't seem like the research has made it down into the exam room yet. Now, before you head off for your day, make sure to rate and review The Healthy Skin Show and then hit that subscribe button so you can tune in each week for new research like this, clinical strategies, personal stories, and the inspiration you need on your journey to rebuilding healthy skin. And then let's connect online. I'm at Jennifer Fugo. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I look forward to digging deeper with you in the next episode.